bringing the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptist. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Reiner, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. Before we begin with the introduction for today's study, I want to remind you that if you happen to miss one of our programs, or if you want to listen to a previous program, then you can do so by visiting our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Again, that is www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. This is given as one word and in all lowercase letters. There, you can listen to our most recent programs in streaming audio format at your convenience. If you haven't already checked us out at our website, please do so. We would certainly love to hear from you. Well, our study for today is taken from Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verses 35 through 41, where one of Christ's most astounding miracles is recorded. Here, Jesus demonstrates his deity by bringing calm to a raging storm on the Sea of Galilee, which is threatening the existence of his followers. His control over the forces of nature reveals the awesome power of his sovereignty and confirms the fact that he is the eternal Son of God. And because of that, there are several points that we can learn as we face our own personal storms in life. For example, because of the sovereignty of Christ, we can confidently face the unknown. In fact, this is going to be the basic point for our study today. Secondly, because of the sovereignty of Christ, we can also face our fears. That is, the obstacle of our challenges at any given moment. And finally, because Christ is sovereign, he deserves our praise and worship. So if you are facing a storm in your life at the present moment, and you want to know more about how to overcome, then we invite you to join with us as we study from Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verses 35 through 41. This passage of Scripture, apart from being a well-known biblical narrative, is also very significant because it contains three major practical elements associated with the Christian's life. There is the element of sovereignty, there is the element of faith, and there is the element of fear. Now, if you are a believer, you've experienced the sovereignty of Christ in your life. You've also experienced the triumph of faith, as well as experiencing the bitter defeat of fear. So, taking into account these three basic principles as we read this passage, I want you to keep in mind that the major theme of this narrative is not any particular teaching of Christ per se, or one of his unique sayings. It's not even his example of faith and courage that he displayed in the midst of such dangerous circumstances. But rather, the major theme of this passage concerns itself with Christ and his power as the divine Son of God over the circumstances that affect our life and our response to that sovereign power. So with those thoughts in mind, please read with me from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Beginning with verse 35, we have recorded these words. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? One of the things in life that I find very fascinating is how two people can either observe or experience the exact same thing, and yet come away with two totally different responses. Take, for example, storms. There are some individuals which see great beauty in storms. They have a tremendous fascination with the majesty and the power that storms convey. In fact, some are so interested in storms that they chase them quite literally. They are called storm chasers. Now, they chase these storms primarily for scientific research, but even in that, there is a great fascination with the power that these storms possess. Now, these storms are a revelation of great beauty of this natural world. However, they are also a revelation of tremendous power, and it would be foolish for me or anyone not to respect that aspect of storms, for they can, and they have, cause serious damage and even death. And this leads us to another response of storms, and that is fear. There are some people who have an extreme fear of storms. So extreme, in fact, that it can be described as a paralyzing phobia. They become so frightened that they are quite literally afraid to move. They're afraid to breathe. They cannot think properly. Basically, this paralyzing fear causes an individual to no longer function as they should. You see, what has happened is that normal fear and respect has been replaced by an abnormal sense of fear and respect. And when this happens, people lose the ability to function as they should. Now, not only are there natural storms, but there are also what we might call storms of life. And people respond to these storms differently as well. Some react very negatively. They remain in a constant state of fear. They break under the pressures that these storms can bring into their lives, while others react more positively. They take the opportunity, as difficult as it may be, to look for the beauty in these storms of life as a means of growing closer in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Through the demonstration of their faith and reliance in Christ, they are enabled to turn tragedy into triumph and fear into victory. Now, while this passage in Mark refers to an occasion involving a natural storm, there are, however, many valuable lessons that we can learn to help us weather the storms of life. At a very basic level, we must learn that we are not to be controlled or manipulated by external circumstances, regardless of the apparent situation. We must learn to be overcomers through faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, this is the basic premise that I want to work from in this message. Because Jesus Christ is in control over all things that affect our life, we can meet all of life's difficult challenges in total confidence. Now, let me say that again, because this is going to be the basic thesis that we'll be working from in this study. Because Jesus Christ is in control of all things that affect our life, we can meet all of life's difficult challenges in total confidence. Now, initially, this is seen in reference to the unknown. In fact, most of the time, people describe fear in terms of the unknown. That is, they define fear as the fear of what is not known. And by that, they simply mean that what causes them to fear are things that they don't fully understand, or things that they do not fully comprehend, or things which happen unexpectedly, or even those things which we, as of yet, have not personally experienced. Now, I suppose there is a great deal of truth to these things if based upon nothing else than pure experience. But as we face these unknown fears in whatever form, we can do so confidently because of the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look with me at verses 35 and 36. These verses relate to us how Jesus instructs his disciples to depart with him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And I want you to pay very close attention to the words of Jesus Christ in verse 35, and also to note that for all practical purposes, these disciples are embarking into the unknown. Read with me verses 35 and 36. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. The Sea of Galilee has been described as one of nature's grand design. This large body of water fills a basin that is surrounded by a mountainous region, and its fresh water is a very important source of life to the largely barren countryside of Palestine. But perhaps the aspect of this sea that stands out more than any other is how violent storms can erupt at any time, without a moment's notice. This is due because of its unique location in the mountainous region between the Mediterranean Sea and the desert. You see, in this geographical area, this body of water is surrounded by mountains on three sides, the north, the eastern, and the western side. These mountains rise between 3 and 4,000 feet high, and the lake is several thousand feet below sea level. And so when the warm tropical air of the lake mixes with the cold air of the mountainous region, it creates a sense of turbulence and winds, and therefore waves, or in other words, it creates storms. Now, one author describes how this lake is exposed to strange quirks of nature. He says that violent winds can come across its surface as if blowing through a funnel. These winds come without warning and can turn the tranquil lake into a roaring tempest in a matter of seconds. In fact, the same author goes on to relate that even with today's technology, there are those in Palestine who refuse to sail on the Sea of Galilee for fear of perishing under the wrath of her violent moods. Now, this graphic description of the Sea of Galilee is often very much like our own lives. Our lives can be satisfying, very tranquil in one moment, and then suddenly and quite literally in the next, it can be full of violence and turbulence. Just think for a moment about those incidents that has happened to your life as an individual, as well as those things that have happened at the national level, such as the terrifying and tragic event of 9/11. No doubt, every single one of these people had no idea of the great tragedies and the storm of life that they would be facing that particular day. Out of nowhere, the violence, the tragedy, and the heartache converged upon them at full speed with no warning whatsoever. Now look at verse 37 with me. Here it states, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling." Now this verse teaches us that one of the things that fishermen from this geographical area feared most actually happened. Out of nowhere, without any warning, a terrible storm suddenly develops, and it threatens their very existence. Although they knew the possibilities of this happening, by the mood and language of this passage, we can only assume that this was something that they were not expecting. As one noted theologian observes, perhaps it was here that the sailor's prayer was first uttered. "O Lord, your sea is so great, and my boat is so small." Most of us are never quite as impressed with the frailty and the limitedness of our own lives until we find ourselves in the open sea of life in the middle of a dark, violent storm. And in those times, we can feel so helpless and so overwhelmed. We think of ourselves as being at the mercy of the circumstances that we are facing. Now, I want you to imagine just for a moment how the body of this ship might apply to us. Notice in the first portion of verse 37 that it states that the waves beat into the ship. Whenever we face any storm in life, one unfailing characteristic of these storms is that they tend to constantly beat against us. They are unrelentless in their assault. And if we're not careful, they can batter us down to a point of fear and weakness. And this can lead to such things as worry, anxiety, depression, stress, fear, mental and physical tension, addiction, and even nervous breakdowns. These are basic results of being overpowered by situations that we may encounter in life. Now, this passage teaches us that the waves beat into the ship to the point that it was full or already filling. In other words, it was taking on water and the boat was in danger of sinking. Now, personally, I've never been in a situation like this, but I can only assume that under the circumstances that whenever their principal form of safety began to be threatened, that is, when their boat began to take on water, that for them, that was a terrible feeling. And this comes out by their actions and by their words to Jesus Christ. Now, as you read this narrative, you may find it very easy to identify with the emotional state of these disciples. You may find it easy to feel their sense of desperation because of the fact that you've been there. You've experienced personally the fear of the unknown, of not fully understanding or comprehending something, or experiencing that which was unexpected, or facing that which you have, as of yet, never experienced. For example, when the doctor came to you and said that the feeling of discomfort that you were experiencing was cancer. Or when your boss has come to you and has told you that the company is downsizing, they're having to cut back, and as a result, they're going to have to let you go. And here you are with a family to support and financial obligations to meet. Or when your spouse comes to you and confesses that they have had an extramarital affair. Or when the phone rings in the early evening and a voice says that your son or daughter has been seriously injured in an automobile accident. And beyond that, there are no details. You remember that experience of fear. You remember your feeling of absolute helplessness and desperation. You remember your heart pounding so hard that it felt like your chest was going to rip open. But perhaps you also remember what enabled you to face these challenges. What enabled you to square off with the reality that tragic things do happen in the lives of those who love God. And that is, Jesus Christ is in control over all things that happen in your life. Nothing escapes the sovereignty of God. Now, at this juncture, let me say that I am a firm believer in the absolute sovereignty of God. I believe that He has ordained whatsoever comes to pass, from that which seems to be the most minute detail in our life to that which is the most significant. Now, having said that, let me also say that I don't always understand how or why Christ exercises His sovereignty. I don't know why He does the things that He does. But I do know that I believe in His sovereignty, and I believe that in His wisdom, He exercises His sovereignty, first of all, for that which will bring Him the greatest glory, and secondly, that which will be the most beneficial to us. Understand that God's primary prerogative in demonstrating his sovereignty is not for your fluff and comfort, but rather it is for his glory and that which will make us closer to the glorious image of his Son, Jesus Christ, that which is most edifying and needful for us. Now, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we have a tremendous statement regarding how these things work together. Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." So believers must understand that all things work together for good, and ultimate good, and that good has to be understood primarily from God's perspective and not always what we think of as good. One of the most meaningful hymns to me along these lines is this one from Fanny J. Crosby, "All the Way My Savior Leads," when she writes, "All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know, whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." But fear is not the major issue here. Rather, it's what we do about it through Jesus Christ. Do we allow ourselves to be dominated by external circumstances, or are we comforted and led by the peace of Jesus Christ? And that's a crucial question to ask yourself. As you examine your own life right now, no doubt there are various levels and degrees of storms or violent weather that you may be experiencing in spiritual terms. Believers are not exempt from the tragedies, from the heartache, from the challenges of this life. We hurt just like unbelievers do. We suffer just like unbelievers do. We feel pain just like unbelievers do. So again, we are not exempt from these things. But rather, what has changed is our perception and relationship to these things. We must look at them now from a perspective of growing in our relationship with the Lord. But again, look at your life and ask yourself, am I allowing these external circumstances to dominate my life, the way that I think and the way that I react? Or am I being driven by the perfect peace that comes only through Jesus Christ? The answer will largely depend upon where our perspective lies, how we are viewing these things. Because if we take our eyes off of Christ, we will be focusing upon the circumstance apart from focusing on Jesus Christ. Now, when I speak about having a perfect peace in Christ, I'm not trying to create an illusion that we just simply ignore these externals, these storms of life. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is that in our trust in the sovereignty of Christ, in our trust and faith and reliance upon the teachings of Scripture, as we seek to obey the Word regardless of external circumstances, that our faith enables us to sail through those storms successfully until we reach a point where the storm subsides. It's not that if we have faith or trust in the peace of God that the storm is simply going to be eliminated immediately. Now, that may happen, but that's a rare occasion. Normally, whenever we place our trust and faith in God, we trust in His sovereignty, and we do His word, He enables us to navigate through those storms, not being fearful or being overcome by these external pressures. We are enabled to grow closer in our relationship to Him and to see the true greatness of his sovereignty. Because if we follow him and trust him, if we are obedient to the teachings of his word, regardless of what we face, then he will communicate his sense of peace and allow us to face whatever we have to face and safely navigate through those difficult storms. So please do not allow your life to be controlled or manipulated by what you experience. Don't become so frightened that you begin to abandon all hope, and especially your hope in Jesus Christ. Because once that happens, we will be dominated by these external circumstances, and we will begin to pay the price because of our lack of faith and because of the fact that we will be responding out of anger and out of fear, and we will be making wrong choices or decisions. Now keep in mind, but that Jesus was in their presence, and yet initially they seemed to forget that, or the fact that it didn't mean a whole lot to them, because they were moved to a point of panic and fear. If you are a believer, Jesus is with you. But what happens is that sometimes we're not as aware of that presence because we are focused on what's happening around us instead of Jesus Christ being in us. May the Lord bless you, is our prayer.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's Holy Word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to His Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at the same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.